Hebrews,
chapter 1. I don't know. I'm glad I'm in church.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm in church already.
Amen.
I hope I don't mess it up with the message, but I'm already glad I'm in church. Amen. You guys have been a blessing to me. Let's stand together if you would. Let me read a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That just makes you want to shout.
Amen, brother.
Do a few flips and amen, and then go to the hospital, right? Because you broke something. especially when you get, anyway. Being made so much better, verse 4, than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We ask you to be pleased with this simple sacrifice, this offering, Lord God, that I would offer up to you tonight. Lord, this is what you've given me. I know there's help and there's strength in this precious book. There's power in this word. And Lord, I plead your blood. I plead the power. Lord God, I beg you to bind the devil. And Lord God, that all of us would be on purpose listening to heaven, for heaven, from heaven to speak to our hearts. Help us, strengthen us, feed us. God, draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I think you may be seated. Last week we started a simple Bible study on the book of Hebrews. I say simple, it's not going to be simple. There's a lot of depth in the book of Hebrews. But it is the theme of the book of Hebrews is, remember what I said last week, Jesus is better.
Amen.
Jesus is better. Now you say, better than what? Yes, better.
Amen.
Better than who? Yes, him too. Amen. Better than anything and anybody you could ever imagine or put in, fill in the blank. Jesus is better. And so tonight I want to look at this simple thought here in verse 1. It says here, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight by the grace of God. I'll try to be brief. But the fact is, Jesus is better than the prophets.
Amen.
Jesus is better than the prophets. the book of Hebrews, notice here this verse 1, chapter 1 of verse 1, the whole book of Hebrews starts with the word God. It just starts with the word God. Can I say anything that starts with God is going to be good, amen? It's going to be good when God starts it all. But there's no attempt here to prove God's existence. This book is primarily written to the Jews. They believed that there was a God. They believed in Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This book is also preserved for you and me, amen? And we, all generations for all time, and we also know there is a God. Everybody knows there is a God.
Amen.
The Bible says, we'll hold your place here, we'll come back, but look in Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. It says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. Can I say this to you tonight? Only a fool would say that. Only a fool would say that. He says in his heart, there is no God. Really, every atheist is not an atheist. They declare themselves atheists. They say they're atheists, but they're not atheists because they know there is a God.
Right.
Here's what I'm trying to say is, notice it says, he says it in his heart. They are corrupt. What that means, the reason a person would say that is because their heart is corrupt.
Right.
Anything that you say that goes against the Word of God in your heart is where it starts.
Right.
Amen.
Anything that you say, that anything Now, I'm going to just leave it there and go on. Anything that you say, well, I don't agree with that, I don't believe that, and it's right here in black and white,
yeah.
That's your heart.
Amen.
That's your heart. Because, and by the way, the Bible says that your heart is corrupt if you say that. And it's a problem in the heart. Just, by the way, every sin problem starts right here. Every sin. Look in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, just a few pages to the right. Verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Listen, the Bible says in verse 1 there that the declaration is made by the very heavens. The declaration, what am I talking about? That there is a God. That there is a God. Now, the declaration is made, but notice, it's declared in verse 1. It's showed forth in verse 1. Day unto day uttereth speech. Now, wait a minute. How does a day speak? Here's what the Bible's saying, is every day the creation is speaking, there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. Day after day after day after day. The declaration is made. Every day makes the declaration, there is a God. Every night, verse 2, every night even shows it. Now, think about that with me. Every night shows his that there's a knowledge, shows the knowledge of God. What does that mean? Listen, it simply means you look up in the stars, you look up in the moon, you look up at the creation of God, day or night, you know that there's a God. And the heavens declare it, the firmament shows it forth, days after day speak it, the night declares it, and every place, look in verse 3, there is no speech nor language. This is in every language. This is in every language. Now stay with me. Now I'm going somewhere with this, but there's no speech nor language. There's no voice, it says, where their voice is not heard. Because everybody has a day. Everybody has a night. Everybody has the heavens. Everybody has the firmament. Everybody knows whether no matter where they live, no matter what language they speak, there is a God.
Amen.
Every place hears the voice of these days and nights. And it says, all the earth, in verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. It's going to keep going until the end of this world. There is a God. Now listen, I'm simply saying that. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm simply saying that to you, that God, we know that He's real, and the Bible doesn't even try to prove His existence. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God.
Amen.
I was out talking to people today, and I think I must have found myself in the darkest, most depressing, dirtiest side of town. But I did what God told me to do. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I came across some people who were so, and I'm just not religious. I just don't believe in that stuff. It's just not for me. No, I don't think so. I'm okay. I'm fine. But you know, the point of the matter is they had no, they had nothing. Their eyes were dark. Their eyes were empty. Their hearts were empty. And I told him, I said, look, you understand that it doesn't really matter what you believe. Truth is truth.
Amen.
Truth is truth.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether you believe it or you're religious or not. Jesus Christ died for sins.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ was buried and rose again, and He's
Amen.
Coming back.
Amen.
And God is real, and sin is real, and heaven is real, and hell is real. And it doesn't matter what you believe.
Right.
Amen.
Sometimes you just have to tell them. I mean, it just doesn't matter what you believe. Now, did they get saved? No, they didn't get saved. But they knew that there was a preacher on their front door. Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, I don't know where that came from, but go back to Hebrews chapter 1. It says, now we know that God is real, but here's what I want you to look at. This is a blessing. It says in verse 1, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, that just means different times and different ways, but notice this next word, spake. Now, what I'm saying to you is, I love and I serve, listen, a living God.
Amen. That's right.
We serve a living God.
Amen.
You know how I know He lives? Listen, because He speaks.
Yeah. Amen.
You're not going to hear a dead man speak.
That's right.
It ain't going to happen. Amen. You're not going to hear a dead man speak. We have the only living God.
Amen.
Amen. We have the only living God. Therefore, because we, how do we know? Because he's the only God who speaks.
Amen. That's right.
It makes you feel sorry for the Muslims. They pray five times a day. And people say, wow, they're faithful. What are they, you know what they're doing? They're trying to earn their way right. to some type of a fantasy world that they call eternity.
Yeah.
Their God does not speak.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for the Buddhists.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Their God did not speak.
That's right.
I feel sorry for those who pray to Mary.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, come on. Come on, brother.
She's not a God. She doesn't speak.
That's right.
You see what I mean? We have a God in heaven who is the only God that's alive, always has been, and he speaks
Amen.
To you and me.
Amen.
He speaks.
Amen.
What a miserable existence it would be to have a God who is dead and basically a rock, a piece of wood, a statue. Wouldn't that be a miserable life? Hey man, I'm glad I know a God who's alive today. Not only is he alive, but he speaks. Don't forget, that's a blessing right there. You know, these other religions have dead books written by dead men who they think are going to give them life. How does that work? There's only one life, hallelujah, and that's the living God giving us the living Savior, giving us everlasting life in an eternal heaven when we have a God. Listen, you're not crazy when you say, God spoke to me.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, liberals say you're crazy. They call you nuts. I've had people tell me that at the door, and when I knock on their door, and they say, well, you know what, we don't believe in all that. I said, Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel message. That's what they need to hear. And they say, well, you know, he's still dead. How do you know he's alive? I said, I know he's alive because he speaks to me.
Amen.
He lives in my heart, Amen. And he speaks to me. Yes. And you know, sometimes they get a good laugh out of that. Sometimes, what am I going to say? Well, you're crazy. How can a dead man speak to you? And that's the point. He's not dead, hallelujah. He's alive. And he is alive and he speaks to me. And you're not crazy when you say God speaks to me. God's, listen, according to verse 1, God's been speaking to his creation ever since he created them. God has been speaking to us. God has been speaking to our forefathers. I feel sorry for people who think that's insanity. They just don't have any hope. They don't have any understanding of what truth is. But listen to me tonight. Here's where I'm getting at. What we have to be careful with, however,
yes, sir,
is understanding how God speaks.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to get off if you're not careful. Verse 1 says that in the time past, in the Old Testament, God spake to the Jewish people, the Jews, the fathers of the Jews, by the prophets. Now, the prophets were in direct communication with God by God's choosing. That's how God chose to do it. That was God's choice for them for that time. Okay? Stay with me. These prophets told people what God told them.
Yeah.
Right? It was just a conduit. God said, okay, tell my people. And they went and they said, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Boom. And that's what a prophet did. God revealed individual. God revealed national sins and individual sins to these prophets. And the prophets told the people what they had done.
Yeah.
They told these people what they had done. They weren't there when they did this sin, but God told them exactly what they had done, and they walked out and they preached and they prophesied and they told people what they had done when nobody else was around.
Yep.
But the prophet knew.
Amen.
God revealed also future plans to the prophets in the Old Testament, and the prophets told the people what was coming. Judgment,
right.
Captivity, judgment, Babylon, Syria, judgment. You see, that, and a perfect example of this is, you remember David? David was a king, of course, a man's man. He was a man after God's own heart.
Yep.
But yet he was out of God's will one day. Maybe he was supposed to be in church and he wasn't. He stayed home. Or maybe he was supposed to be at work and he wasn't. He went somewhere else. Or maybe, you know, he was supposed to be reading his Bible, but he decided to sleep in that day. The point is, he was out of God's will. And he went for a little stroll out on the rooftop. And he happened to notice this beautiful woman. Oh, just what a coincidence. There's a beautiful woman bathing over there. And her name was Bathsheba. Yeah. What a coincidence, huh? Well, David, you know the story. I'm not going to belabor the point. But David brought her up to him. His servant said, wait a minute, David. She's a married woman. Stop. There again, there's the Holy Spirit saying, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. This is wrong. Don't do this. And he said, well, you know, I'm the king. And so he went ahead and did what he wanted to do. And of course, she was with child. That child died. Then he had her husband murdered. So he was an adulterous, fornicating murderer.
Yeah, that's right.
But he wasn't going to do anything about it. He was just, you know, everything's cool now. Her husband's dead. I'll marry Bathsheba. We'll have another baby. And we'll just go on like nobody knows. Nobody knows. Except for a prophet by the name of Nathan. Who God told everything that David did. Wow. And so Nathan went up to David and started telling him a story. And I don't know, I could go through the whole thing. But he said, David, there was a man who had a sheep and he stole some sheep and he had all the sheep. And David got furious and he said, who is that man? Bring him to me. And he said, David, thou art the man.
Yeah, amen, bro.
Now, how did that prophet know that? He knew everything David had done. And then, not only did he know what David had done, but he told him, you know what's going to happen? Because of what you've done, the sword is never going to leave your house. It never did.
That's right.
So prophets, listen, the prophets got the word from God. They knew what the person, they knew where they were. Okay? They knew why they were there. And they knew what was coming. God revealed all that to prophets in the Old Testament. Now, no Jew would dispute that. Y'all don't dispute that. You believe the Bible, don't you? But see, Jews, now, there are people that dispute what I just talked to you about. I don't believe the Bible, but Jews understood all of that. They believed the Bible. Now, however, though, these Jews, there was no more prophets now in this New Testament. There was no more prophets. There were no more of those men that God was using like that. So now, however, instead of prophets, they've got fishermen. They've got tax collectors. They've got unlearned and ignorant men showing up, and they called them preachers.
Yeah. Amen.
They called them disciples of this Jesus Christ. Disciples of this one who they call Christ. Now, Peter and James and John and Philip and Stephen and Paul and Apollos and on and on and on. And they're preaching, but what they're doing is they're no longer telling the future. They're telling the past. They're proving that Jesus was indeed crucified, buried, and he indeed rose again. They were telling the people, and they were just ignorant men. They weren't educated men. They weren't rich, elegant orators or anything like that. But they just started preaching with authority.
Amen.
They started preaching. It wasn't like the scribes and the Pharisees. They started preaching like Jesus with authority from God. There was a real power that came out of their mouths when they began to preach, and then it caused conviction to fall on people. It caused them to turn to Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation when they heard the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, however, these unconverted Jews that are still not saved are reminding these newly saved Jews, hey, wait a minute. You can't just give up everything the prophets said. You can't just give up everything that they told us. And so they're telling them, you've got to remember, the prophets told us, you know, that we have to do this and do that and be here and be that and do this. And they said, don't forget, Jesus was just a carpenter's son. He was from Nazareth. He was nothing. Don't forget, remember, we proved him to be a phony, and we hung him on the cross. Come on now. You can't follow him. They accused him. Remember, they said he was blasphemous. He called himself the Son of God. He called himself the I Am. He said he could forgive sins. He was casting out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub, and they were just laying all this stuff on these brand new Jewish believers. They're hearing all of this, and now they're in turmoil. And here we go right off the bat. Praise God for his holy word. And it was written here, number one, that Jesus is better than the prophets of the old. Now, understand something. Number one, quickly, I just want to go over a few thoughts, and we won't belabor the point tonight. Jesus himself was a prophet, okay? He was a prophet. Jesus came, and he spake to the people for God. Yeah. He spake to the people exactly. Look in Matthew 21, quickly. Matthew 21, verse 10. Matthew 21, verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Isn't that a blessing? Boy, that's what I want our city. I want our city to be moved. Don't you want this city of Denton to be moved to the point where they say, "What is this church? Who is this church? What are they doing? Who is this?" Amen. That's my prayer. That's my vision. Verse 11 says, "The multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet.'" The prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And go back to Matthew 17 quickly. Matthew 17, verse 5. Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So God confirmed it. The people knew he was a prophet. And God said, "That's right. I want you to listen to him now." Okay? He even said in John chapter 8, I'm just going to read you these, "He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." That's what Jesus said. He said also in another scripture, "As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Amen. He said in John chapter 12, "Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." He was a prophet. He was speaking the words of God. Every time Jesus spoke, it was God's word. Everything that came out of his mouth was straight from God. He was a prophet. The prophet spoke God's word, but listen to me, they also spoke other things. Right? Every word that came out of Jesus' mouth was straight from God. He was better than the prophets.
Amen.
He was far superior, much better than the human prophet. You understand, there were many false prophets too. Many false prophets who lied, who deceived the people. There were also prophets for hire. You know, you'd pay, like Balaam, remember Balaam and his donkey? There were prophets that were for hire and false prophets. And there was many things that, listen, Jeremiah wasn't always right with God. He was a great prophet, but he was ready to quit. He was ready to give up. So the fact that we're trying to say, first of all, Jesus was a prophet. However, he was the perfect prophet.
Amen.
You see the difference there? He was the perfect prophet. He was better than, and not only that, but secondly, Jesus was the last prophet.
Amen.
This is important. Jesus was the last prophet. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Listen, understand something. Hebrews, we'll go back to Hebrews 1. There we were. Look again at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. He was the prophet, everything he spoke, but everything came out of his mouth was God's word. Jesus was the only true prophet, never spoke anything except for God's word. But he was also the last prophet. Look in Hebrews 1, it says, "God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." Now, if you look at the phrase in verse 2, "hath" is past tense. "In these last days, spoken" is past tense. God used prophets now, stay with me, in time past to speak unto the Jewish fathers, but now hath he spoken by his son, past tense. In other words, listen to me tonight, there is no more prophecy. There's no more prophets.
Right.
Yeah, It doesn't have to get so quiet, but the fact is, people are still calling themselves prophets. People are still calling themselves prophets and putting on prophet seminars and prophecy conferences and calling themselves prophets so-and-so from so-and-so wherever, but the fact is, no. There are no more prophets.
That's right.
Jesus is the last prophet. There is no more prophecy. There will be no more prophecy. It is fulfilled. It is finished. Everything that we know that's going to happen in the future is right here in this Bible. Go to 2 Peter, just a few books to the right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter speaking of the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was up there when he woke up with Peter, James, and John, and they woke up and they saw Jesus in His glorified, transfigured body. He, in verse 17, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. They heard the very voice of God from heaven. Of course, they heard Jesus speak many times. And when you go back in the Old Testament prophets, all the prophets of old, they were heard, audibly heard. Just like you can hear me, right? Everybody hear me okay? They could hear the prophet speak. It was not some kind of spooky thing. It was a prophet speaking to people and they could hear them. Now, Peter says, we heard the very voice of God. Yeah. We saw Jesus in His glory and we heard God give Him, this is My beloved Son. We knew that God confirmed that indeed it was Jesus. But look what he says in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now listen, he's talking about, well, let's read on here and I'll finish this in a minute. The light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, what am I trying to say here is this, that prophecy has been everything that we need to know as far as prophecy is right here in this book. That we don't need to hear something new from anybody. We don't need to hear something new from any man. Listen to me, we don't need to try to believe something came from God if it doesn't line up with the Bible.
That's right.
There is no new prophecy. There is no new, the word of prophecy was not for any private interpretation. In other words, it's not for me to say, okay, I got a prophecy from God, and I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to tell you what God prophesied to me. That's utter foolishness. Okay? I hope that you're not offended by that. I certainly hope you're not watching that on TV, but that is utter foolishness. Okay? That is not what the Bible teaches. You see, God has already spoken to us, past tense, through His Son. It's all we're going to get. That's all we're going to get. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's more sure than the very voice of God from heaven. You understand what that Bible, that's what that Bible says. And so what I'm trying to say to you is what you hold in your hands, your lap, wherever you have it, on your head, maybe, I don't know. It is the very prophecy that God has given. We have it all.
Amen.
Jesus was the last prophet. There's no more prophets. There's no more prophets so-and-so and such, whatever they call themselves. There's none of that. It's no more. We have the last prophet, Jesus. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Amen. You okay? It's kind of just a Bible study tonight, but Revelation chapter 1, it's good. We gotta be fed, don't we? Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking here, of course, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. What's that mean, preacher? Well, good. I'm glad you asked. The beginning and the ending. Amen. That's what it means. The first letter and the last letter of the alphabet. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and to come, the Almighty. And what all I'm saying is Jesus himself said, look, I've already given the beginning and I'm the end. It's over. There's no more prophecy. I am it. I am it. God is not going to speak to us any more than what he's already said to us through Jesus right here in this Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So don't get caught up in all of that hoopla and all of that hype and all of that. All it is, listen to me, all it is a money-making scam.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Those guys have airplanes that well, you know, they make my airplane look silly. The airplane I'm going to have one day, you know. When I was little, my dad had a Cessna, you know, six-seater, little Cessna airplane, 185, and it sit six people, and that's about the closest thing I've ever had to an airplane. And I just happened to have it by proxy through my dad. But listen, those guys are making millions of dollars, hand over fist. They're selling you everything they can think of, and they're robbing people left and right. They're robbing little widows, and they're robbing people that don't know any better, and they're drawing crowds like by the masses, millions, and it's a bunch of foolishness.
That's right.
You got to be careful. Jesus is better than the prophets. We have Jesus right here. We have the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, that which he which was, which is, and which shall ever be, the Almighty. This is him right here. This is Jesus, the Word of God, the better option, much better than the prophets. Now quickly, I'm going to go back here, Hebrews chapter 1. This is God in verse 1, at sundry times, and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, his Son, although he's the last prophet, now don't miss this and I'm done. His Son is still alive.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
All the prophets are dead.
Yeah.
And, his Son is still alive, and all the prophets are dead. Amen? But we have a Savior in heaven who's still alive. And listen, he still speaks. Hallelujah. In other words, his prophetic ministry continues still today. Only his. Nobody else's. Only his. You understand that, right? Only his. He still speaks. He still speaks. Holy men of God spake. Remember that verse I read to you? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost still speaks though, hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Ghost still alive, hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Ghost still prophesies, but through Jesus and about Jesus only.
Amen.
Within the confines of this book.
Amen.
You understand? You cannot let yourself get caught up in all of that hype. Go to John chapter 16 quickly. John 16. Jesus is better than the prophets. Amen. John chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse 12. Jesus speaking to his disciples there in John 16, 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. I feel like that's probably still true, but
Amen.
Look what he says, but you cannot bear them now. Wow. Let me just stop right there. This is off the subject a little bit, but maybe you just need to wait on God.
Amen.
And trust God.
Yeah.
And he'll give you the answer when you can bear it.
Amen.
When you can bear it.
Amen.
Because sometimes the answer is not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And I just think that we need to realize that when God says, trust me with all of your heart, I think that's what he means.
Yeah.
And when he says, look, you pray and you pray and you pray and you can't seem to get that answer, maybe you just can't bear it yet.
Right.
Maybe God's trying to grow you to a place where you can handle the answer when he's ready to tell you. Don't give up and say, well, this is never going to work. No, just wait a minute. God knows where you're at. God knows what's going on. And he also knows what you can bear.
Amen.
That's a blessing to me anyway. Because, you know, I sometimes we, well, not sometimes, mostly all the time, we want it now. Yep. Now!
Right.
Yeah. But God says you can't bear it right now.
Uh-huh. Right. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't it a blessing though? He says, I have yet many things to say. Oh, Lord. How many times has God spoken to you?
Yeah.
And it's just that, I mean, you know what? Okay, God, you spoke to me. I don't care what else happens. You just reminded me again you're still alive.
Amen.
You just reminded me again you're still right here with me. You just reminded me again that you're still living in my heart. You just reminded me again that you are almighty and you're the only God that there ever could be or ever will be. And you didn't have to tell me anything nice. You didn't have to tell me anything sweet, Valentine's Day or not Valentine's Day. You just spoke to me, Lord. And all I know is I'm looking forward to the next time you speak to me, God, because it just reminds me. And know what it does? It grows me. It grows me stronger. It grows me closer. Because I know, once again, I'm reminded that He's alive and that He is God Almighty. When He says, I have yet many things to say to you. That's a blessing.
Amen.
Don't you? I mean, just take that home with you tonight and say, God has many things yet to say to me. Now, I've read this Bible through, I don't know, for the last 10 years probably, cover to cover. And I'm not bragging. What I'm saying to you, every time, He still has many things to say to me.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Don't give up. Don't just put it down because He didn't say something to you right now.
Yeah.
He has many things to say to you.
Yeah. Amen.
When you're ready to bear it.
Amen.
Now, let's read on here. Verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But whatsoever He shall hear, now listen, don't miss that, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Now hold on a minute now. He's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who hadn't come yet until the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He's preparing His disciples there. He's saying, I've got so much to tell you, but you can't bear it yet. However, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to speak to you, not of Himself. Listen to me. Don't get carried away with that charismatic stuff.
That's right. Amen.
They glorify the Holy Spirit. That's not biblical.
That's right.
Amen.
That's not scriptural. According to my Bible and according to what Jesus said, which I believe to be true, is the Holy Spirit does not glorify Himself. He glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not the foundation of the church. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on now. Say amen right there. It's Jesus. It's not... Let's see. What about... You talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, preacher. Oh, I did. But you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to do one thing. You're going to love Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
You're not going to love yourself.
Right.
You're not going to turn yourself into some type of a sideshow.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Some type of friends, frenetic circus.
Yeah.
Go buy a tent, right? Anyway, I don't worry. Here am I. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. If you have a red letter Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Is that in red?
Yes.
Amen.
Who's speaking there?
Jesus.
Who's He speaking about? The Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me.
Amen.
Amen.
Not Himself. Certainly not us.
Right.
Amen.
Glory to God. It's good stuff.
Amen.
He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, what Jesus just said something there that we don't need to miss.
Yeah.
He's going to get it from heaven. The Holy Spirit from heaven. Remember that Holy Spirit lives in your heart if you're saved.
Right, amen.
And He's going to get it from heaven, from mine, Jesus speaking, from Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And then He's going to tell you.
Yeah. Amen.
What am I saying? I'm saying He's still speaking.
Amen.
He's still speaking, but He's only speaking that which Jesus tells Him to say.
Amen.
He's only speaking which this Bible has already told.
Right.
But He's speaking to us the things that we haven't quite grasped yet. we don't understand yet, that we haven't been able to bear them yet. There's no more prophecy. There's no more of that stuff where you know everything. Listen, the Bible either says it or it doesn't. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. Jesus is the last prophet, but he continues to prophetically minister to you in my heart. Now, stop right here and I'm done. I said three things earlier. You probably completely forgot about it already. But three things a prophet do in the Old Testament. A prophet did in the Old Testament. Number one, I said he knows where you're at.
Amen.
Remember, he knew exactly what was going on in David's heart. He knew exactly what was going on in David's life. Nobody told him.
Right.
Except for God.
Amen.
Then he knew exactly why that had happened to David. And then he knew exactly what was coming because of what was going on in David's heart. Can I tell you, dearly beloved, and this is really it, he's still doing exactly the same thing today.
Amen.
You come to church and you don't even know what in the world God's going to do. You don't know how it's going to work. You just need to be in church. Okay? Yeah, and you do.
Right.
And I'm up here preaching about the sky is blue and the grass is green and the birds are singing and the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what? You're right there, and this is why you're there, and if you don't change, this is where you're going to be.
Amen.
And you're saying, how'd the preacher know that? And I'm not even talking about that. I don't know anything.
Right.
Amen.
I don't. Really. Aren't you glad? I don't know everything. Put it that way. But the fact is, God does.
Amen.
And Jesus, the last prophet, amen, still getting from God.
Yeah.
And then he's speaking the Holy Spirit, and then he's glorifying Jesus by telling us where we're at.
Amen.
Why we're there. In other words, if you change this, you wouldn't have to be there anymore.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And if you don't change this, this is where you're going.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And that's our Savior.
Amen.
That's our Savior.
Amen.
Far, far, far better
Amen.
Than any human prophet.
Amen.
Far better than any. No, the thing is, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but God still speaks.
Amen.
Listen to me. Only through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, do not start going off of feelings and all of that other stuff. Listen, I'm trying to finish here, but that's why prayer and the Bible are an inseparable tandem.
Right. Amen.
You understand what that means?
Right.
You can't separate prayer from the Bible. When you read the Bible, you need to pray. When you pray, you know, you need to at least have the Word of God in your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? But it's better off reading it and praying, or vice versa, or both. Reading and praying and reading. You know, there are times where you can go to the Psalms and you can just read the Psalms because they are prayers.
Amen.
Right? They are prayers. And you say, well, can I just read the Psalms to God? Well, sure, why not? I mean, you're talking to God. The Holy Spirit's interceding for you anyway. It's His Word.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is this. That is how God works in our hearts today.
Amen.
That's the only way He's ever going to work again.
Amen.
There's no more of this wild, crazy, well, you know, I got to go hear from the prophet.
Yeah.
No. You say, well, preacher, then aren't you a prophet? No. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a man of God preaching the Word of God to help feed you,
right,
to help God lead you, because it's what the Bible says. The preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. But isn't it amazing how God works through His last prophet, Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit? Now we have it all right here.
Amen.
Complete. Complete it right here. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You don't need to hear from heaven. Oh, I heard a voice. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You may have heard a voice, but it wasn't from heaven. God does not speak that way anymore. Please understand that. But I heard somebody on TV say that. Okay. I'm trying to help you understand what God said. This is how God speaks to us now. Through Jesus Christ, His Son, His Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that's it. That's it. You know, the more you know of the Bible, the more of those things He's going to be able to tell you.
That's right.
I have many things yet to tell you. Don't you love that verse? Man, that just thrilled my heart. I have many things yet to tell you. So every day of my life, I can look forward. If I'm right with God, and I'm filled with the Spirit, and I'm walking with God, I'm praying, I'm in my Bible, I have that to look forward to. I have many things to tell you. Oh, man. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Lord brought it to my mind, and I promise you this is it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Unless the Holy Spirit brings something else. Amen. I love y'all. I'm glad you love me. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I hope you love me anyway. I'm not going to ask you to say amen right there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him.
Amen. Amen.
Love Him. But, look in verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's those things that Jesus wants to tell you.
Yes.
The deeper things of God. There is so much depth in our God that we will never be able to find the bottom of it. Never. Unsearchable riches. And God says, through my Spirit. You can't even imagine who I really am, how big I really am. You can't even imagine all that there is to this God that we love and serve. But boy, if you just keep your heart with the Holy Spirit and let God through His Word and keep in touch with God in prayer, He said that Spirit is going to be revealed more and more to you about those deep things.
Amen.
Those deep things. Some people come to our church and they don't understand why all we do is talk about, read and teach and preach the Bible.
Amen.
Listen to me, that's all we have.
Amen.
That is
that's
everything.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
If I stood up here and told you little funny stories about Jack and Jill, you would go home needing a pill.
That's right. Amen, brother. Come on, preach.
I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from.
It rhymed, yes.
Anyway, I'm done. Jesus is better than the prophets.
Amen.
He was a prophet, but He was the last prophet.
That's right.
And His prophecies continue through the Holy Spirit, from heaven through the Holy Spirit, and this precious book. He tells you where you're at, why you're there, and where you're going. Listen, if He tells you to stop and turn around, don't take it lightly.
Amen.
It's an amazing God we serve. If you were in any other religion, listen, any other religion, you would never hear from anybody except yourself.
That's right.
And you know what you do, like they do? They go looking for something to fill that void.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, preacher, brother.
That's right.
But we have a God who lives in us.
Amen.
And speaks to us through His book and through prayer.
Amen.
Listen, there's no void anymore.
Amen.
There's no emptiness anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a blessing. Jesus is better than the prophets. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for being so good to us, Lord. Lord, I know I kind of delved into a little bit of a deep subject. But Lord, I pray that You'd help it to be easily understood tonight by Your people. Lord, we simply want to praise You and thank You for being so good to us, for setting this whole thing up, Father, through the Bible, Your Holy Spirit. We have such a great advantage over any other generation, Lord, and we thank You for it. Thank You, God, for loving us. Thank You for speaking to us through this precious book. I pray, Lord God, You'd continue. Keep working in our hearts. Grow us. We love You and we thank You now in Jesus' name.